You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
If you don't know what to do online, again, just celebrate what God has already done. The spirit of celebration is contagious, and people get excited when they see you talking about and your face lighting up with what God's already done in your church and in your community.
Welcome to episode number 179 of the Missional Marketing Podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I'm joined today by the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Bart. 179. We're getting there, buddy.
179. We're inching our way to 200. That's the plan. That's the goal. Yep. We also have on the show with us today, Mr. Josh Chappelle, who is one of our fine Missional Marketing coach and consultants. How are you today, Josh?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
We're glad that you're here with us. We've been producing this podcast since 2020 with the goal of helping churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time around churches, around church comms directors, with pastors, executive pastors, volunteers in churches, really try to help them figure out how to best both communicate internally as well as focus externally. And here at the beginning of 2026, that's the year that we're in right now, Jason and I have been kind of flipping back and forth on conversations related to internal communication strategies as well as external communication strategies. Today, we're going to talk about some external communication strategies. When we say external, we're talking about leveraging digital tools and communications tools to reach people in your community who don't yet attend your church or maybe don't even know about your church. Today, our working title, I don't know if this will be the final title, but the working title is four budget-friendly ways that churches can reach their community. You guys ready for this?
I love budget-friendly ways, so let's do it.
All right, I'm going to tee us off with a few different topics of conversation here and let you guys share your expertise and your wisdom. And let's start with the first one here. And Josh, I'll tee you up on this. And that's claiming your free digital real estate. Ooh. Yeah, every church has digital real estate out there. Have you claimed it? Do you own it? And do you use it? Why don't you talk to that point a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even before people get to the website, they get to something in front of the website, which is the Google Business Profile. And the Google Business Profile is a massive tool that churches can leverage to reach people in their community. It populates in Google Maps. It populates on search results. But you can actually create events all year long in this Google Business Profile. And those events, actually, if they're styled well, if you're following good practices when creating that event, will list organically for search results. So somebody searching for Easter activities near me, or if you've even filled in that description with information about mom and dad related stuff, stuff for them to do with their kids, that could populate for search results about just moms looking to take their kids somewhere fun. And that could really build up good equity between you and your community with your church.
Let me ask a question, Josh. If I don't know if I have claimed or own my Google Business Profile, how can I find out?
Yeah, business.google.com is where you'll go, and those things will either populate or not populate if you don't have one.
You have to be logged into your Google account, right?
That's right. That's probably a good starting point. Yeah.
Another thing you can do is just Google your church's name, and you're going to see your Google Business Profile on the right-hand side. Do it on your desktop. And more than likely, there's going to be a little button that says, "Own this business?" with a question mark. You can click on it. It'll tell you if anybody's claimed it. If they have, you can request to be added, and it'll shoot that person an email, right? Whoever's claimed your business profile. It might have been an employee from like 10 years ago or something like that. But that's another way you can...
Yeah, I think it shows like it's either the first three characters or I think it's the first three characters of the email address that has claimed it. So, you know, you might be able to decipher what email address actually owns it. And if no one's ever claimed it, then you can claim it. There are some hoops that you have to jump through with Google to verify that you have the right to own it. But once you own it, you can update photos, you can make sure all of your information is correct, your office hours, and as Josh said, use it to create events. That's a really, really good strategy there. This is an area where churches miss a lot.
One more thing. So I talked to a lot of churches, and you guys do the same thing, and I'm talking to you, church. I'll go to your profile, I'll look at your photos, and maybe not will I see videos. And if I see a video, it's, you know, from some dad from like 8 years ago who recorded something in the parking lot. Maybe his kid was test driving a car or something like that. It does not do you any good. I've actually seen that. It was so funny. So I'm going, hey, here's a novel idea. Why don't you have your pastor record a 30-second, just, I want to invite you to church video and put it out there. Something like, hey, thank you for checking us out on Google. My name is Pastor Bart, and I'd love to meet you. So come this week and bring your family, blah, blah, blah. Come on now. Like, that's free. That's a free invitation on a platform. They're checking you out on your profile. I'd just go all out, and I'd add a bunch of great photos with it.
Yeah, the great thing about Google Business Profile is that typically when a person comes across your Google Business Profile, their intent is high. They're already looking for a church or something related to church ministry, church activities. So it's a really, really good lead point. Jason, what are some other free digital real estate areas that a church needs to or ought to claim for themselves and utilize for more community engagement, community outreach?
Yeah, there's some good ones. Well, obviously, you guys will probably use Facebook. You know, Meta. They, if you don't do that, do it. You know, add your events on Meta as upcoming events, and then you want to get people that will click to say I'm attending, because then Meta will like, oh, this must be a popular event, and they'll show it more. And so you want it like Easter's. You know, here we are in February. Easter's coming up in a couple months. Churches should be getting ready to add that event to their Meta account, because that's easy. It's free. It takes a few minutes. If you don't do that, I just don't know what to tell you. But there's some other platforms I think you can focus on too. Events, Eventbrite. And I think you and I talked about this before, Bart. Eventbrite is one of those things where people trust it. It's like that third party, yeah, I'll go to Eventbrite to check something out and click and register for that because I trust Eventbrite. You know, if I go to a church website and I don't go to that church, now they're going to start stalking. They'll probably get a pastor showing up and knocking on my door. You know, that's a little scary for non-church people. But Eventbrite, pretty easy. And it's free. And you can collect good data, right? You can get their name and their email, maybe their address, their phone number. That's awesome stuff. Josh, I don't know if you've ever done Nextdoor, but Nextdoor is a good one too. Have you ever checked that out?
Yeah, as well as allevents.com, which, you know, there's, you get lots of moms and dads planning birthday parties on there, which is right alongside your target demographic of young families, and your event is right next to them.
Okay, so All Events, Eventbrite, Nextdoor, it's a local thing. I'd also say this just real quick on back on Facebook. Sometimes if you live in a suburb that's got, like I have a community that I live in. We actually have a Facebook group in our community. So if you can get your people to extend an invitation to their neighbors through the community, what a great, easy, free way of challenging your congregation to share their faith by just a simple invitation for Easter in the group. And then everybody's going to see it. And so that's another one. And then Apple Maps. Bart, go talk about Apple Maps.
Yeah, Apple Maps is interesting. Apple Maps is what I like about Apple Maps, or one of the things that I didn't include on our list, that the notes that I sent you guys, is that Apple Maps pulls reviews. When people are looking for things in Apple, the reviews are actually Yelp. We didn't have Yelp on our list here, but Yelp is another place that you need to claim so that you can update the information. You can make sure that photos are up to date. I don't think you can put events in Yelp. Do either of you guys know if you can do that?
That last time, no, I don't think so, but maybe
I don't think you can. But if people are looking for, you know, people are looking for churches or they're looking for church activities, Apple Maps is another place that people search, and reviews that are pulled into Apple Maps are pulled from Yelp. So that's definitely, it's another business listing. There are tons of them out there. In fact, here's a little trick you should do. You should go into Google and Google family Easter activities near me. And what you're going to get is you're going to get a list. And what you should do is start looking through the sources of where those events are coming from. You'll see some are coming from Eventbrite. Some are coming from All Events. Some of them may actually be coming from some other directory listings that might be free in your region or in your area or in your community. Sometimes they come from like ticket selling platforms if they're selling tickets or something of that nature. But what's cool, we've talked about in our SEO episodes, we've talked about schema, local schema, schema markup, schema code on a website. All of these platforms like Eventbrite and All Events, they automatically add schema onto the pages when you create a page in Eventbrite. If you create a page for an event in All Events, it automatically puts the schema on there. So it's got your address, your phone number, your GPS coordinates, all of those things in there. Something that you're probably not going to naturally do on your website when you create an event on your website, but when you create the events on those platforms, they also have registration. It's free. It's easy to use. And again, as you just mentioned, Jason, really easy to collect people's personal information so that you can do some follow-up engagement with them before and after the event. Hey, let's pivot here. Let's talk about how we can actually leverage the people in our church for more digital outreach. We've talked about this on previous episodes before, amongst ourselves, as well as with some of the guests that we've had on the show. And that's the idea, the concept of building a digital missionary team. Jason, why don't you kick us off on this conversation?
Oh man, this is a fun topic. So this is always kind of tough. So I'm talking to my comms people. You know, I was a comm director for a long time. And sometimes we're kind of under operation. Sometimes we're not really seen as a ministry, but that's what you are. I'll just put the stamp on it. That's what you are. You're a ministry. So as a ministry, you want to be a good steward. And of course, you're given a budget to spend money on stuff. But man, there's nothing like empowering people in your church who are passionate about all things communications, marketing. You know, they're extroverts, right? They want to connect with people. And so I'm a big fan of not only finding those people, but catch this, empowering them. You got to empower them. And so, you know, building a digital ministry team is just that. It's a ministry that these people are part of, and you get to be help to be the champion of that. So, you know, and it also going to vary on the size of your church and where you're located and all that kind of stuff. You know, and a couple of notes here about, you know, recruit 10 to 20 people. It could be more, it could be less. I don't know. But they're not just sharers. Or that, you know, they're not just consumers, but they're sharers is what you're saying here. Is the idea that people in the church want to, and we should be helping them be disciples and helping them follow Jesus. Well, one of those areas of discipleship is sharing your faith or equipping people to go out and share their faith. So I'm a big fan of recruiting and working with a team of volunteers who are passionate about, it could be photography. It could be, in this case, using these digital tools to invite others to it. So have them do it. You know, give them the power to, not that you ever do this, but go to Meta and create those events, right? Look at people that are making a response inside your Google business profile. Empower your people to respond to them. These other people also could be ones that actually generate the engines that get things turning. So maybe they're the ones who will post something, if they'll make a comment, you know, and you get 10 to 15 people that maybe comment on that Facebook post that you made. That's what we're talking about. So it's more than just one thing that you can have these people do. You could have them do a big kind of a laundry list and have a big vision for it. But the key word there is empowering these people. When I was on staff at my church, I did this exact same thing, and I would get together with them. I'd invite them once a month. We'd do pizza, kind of a thing, you know, and we'd talk about ideas. I'm an idea guy, so we would talk about different ideas of how we could leverage our community, our church community, to impact the community around us and grow our church. And so I think you got to kind of take that same approach when you're talking about a digital like ministry team or missionary team that's actually going to go out and help you reach unchurched, dechurched people in your community. Josh, I don't know, have you got any experience with that, or have you had some churches you worked with?
Yeah, well, I mean, just our church experience with what we're doing. I mean, when we go up to younger millennials, Gen Z, these younger generations who already have their phone in their hands anyway, and just ask them, hey, would you just take pictures around Sunday morning, around just celebrating what God is doing in our church? So many pastors I hear talk about this. They are uneasy about, well, the photos won't be what we want, or there'll be bad lighting, or this
I remember reading something in a book by Craig Groeschel called Lead Like It Matters. And what he said, which I'll never forget it, he said he uses the term GETMO, G-E-T-M-O, which essentially stands for good enough to move on. It's good. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to white knuckle these pictures, but what you're doing is you're just showing the community what God is doing in the life of your church, and you're celebrating. And here's the thing about it is younger generations can smell polished and salesy from a mile away anyway, you know? So if you lead with authenticity, lead with being genuine, and just put that up there, I mean, these people are happy to take photos of all around your church.
I agree. Yeah, sometimes we get a little bit too locked into, oh, that doesn't fit our brand perfectly. And I get some of that. You don't want crazy stuff out there. There's probably some policies you should have a policy about, like, you know, we'll put kids out there, yeah, that kind of thing. But I agree with what you're saying. And that is, you know, delegate and empower, you know, a photography team to work with this posting team and putting out content. And I guess my approach would be, well, I'm going to verify that these people that are on the team have been vetted out. Like they're stolen. They're not going to do something crazy or say something crazy, but just let them do their thing. And if, you know what, if they're going to say something that might be a little bit off from what you say, you just correct it. You don't go, oh, we can't do that and wash it away. And you just correct it. You fail forward with it and go, hey, that picture was a little bit fuzzy. We don't want a fuzziness. Or those words you use in that post might have been a little bit kind of controversial. Kind of tone it down a little bit. That's fine, right? Like you're saying, just keep moving forward and keep growing, right?
Yeah. And very, very practically, what it can look like is just having a Dropbox that they all put those photos into that your church can then sift through and use. Because when we say an image answers 1,000 words, what you're helping answer is, how do I dress when I come to your church? Well, there's a picture of a dude in a t-shirt. Or what's the worship like? I mean, you're answering so much just by leveraging those volunteers to take those images.
Let me wrap up this little piece. I'm actually going to be having a call with one of our churches in just over an hour. And the topic of conversation is basically, we want our content to show up more in social media, but we don't want to pay more money. Okay. So here, okay. Short term is, okay, if you want to control the Meta algorithm and you want your social media content, Facebook, Instagram, Reels, you want it to show up more in people's feeds, you got to pay some money, right? Yeah. Like Meta will take your money and Meta will distribute your content. The next best thing is for you to recruit a team of people who are committed to sharing, commenting, sharing, liking the content that you're creating on a regular, consistent basis. Because Jason, back to a point you made just a few minutes ago, there are people in your church who are in Facebook groups in your community or in their HOA or in their neighborhood that you aren't and you don't have access to. So you've got an Easter egg hunt coming up for Easter, or you've got vacation Bible school coming for the summer, or you've got some sort of block party or a new sermon series or whatever it is. You post the content organically on your church's Facebook page, and then you invite those digital missionaries to reshare that content on their Facebook feed and in the groups that they're a part of.
That's right.
There may be some restrictions and limitations to what certain groups will allow, but I tell you what, we've got a gal in our church plant here. We're having an event in a couple of weeks, and I posted it on our church's Facebook page. And then the next thing I knew, I was seeing it show up in all of these groups because one gal in our church group was just like, I'm going to share it everywhere. And she became a digital missionary. She's just firing it off everywhere. And the result of that is we've gotten a ton of new visitor traffic to our website because I have a digital missionary who's willing to share that content. So, You know, think about the ways that you might be able to leverage the people in your church, their own personal social media habits. They're on it. They're using it. Give them something purposeful and gospel-centered to do so that's not just scrolling down the rabbit hole of Instagram Reels.
One more thing, and then we can move on to the next point. Don't get discouraged, because you might have to go through 30 or 40 or 50 volunteers to find that team, right? Because they're, you know, people go, oh, I'm excited. And then they just kind of bail out after a few weeks because they go off and do something else. Don't be discouraged by that. Keep at it. And I'm telling you, submit this in prayer to Lord, can you please bring the people that we need for our digital missionary team, and watch him work. But I'll tell you, just keep trying to recruit more and more people, because some are not going to pan out. But I'll tell you, when you find that team, oh man, it's a blessing for you.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit. We've done a lot of podcast episodes on the topic of local SEO. Yeah. Talk a little bit about local SEO and maybe the possibility, Josh, I'll let you lead off with this one. Using community calendars, like you live, I live in a relatively small town. You live like in a crazy small town, like really, really small town. Jason lives in a big city. What are some different things or some creative things that you might do in terms of just local organizations, local community boards and things like that to try to get your church content in a place where people might see it?
Yeah, well, we really leverage our community groups to that end. When I do group leader training, the first thing that I say is, who are you bringing with you? So it's this, not just the group leader, but it's that Titus 2 discipleship, you know, who are you bringing up with you? And that person that they're bringing with them, we are equipping them to be the outreach coordinator so that the group leader only worries about the spiritual content of the group. That outreach coordinator is identifying the spiritual gifts of that group, that community group, and then going into the community, here's how we're the hands and feet of the church. And then how that takes shape online is we just celebrate. We celebrate those opportunities to paint the high school wall green, or to put up that fence in the neighbor's yard, or to clean whatever it is that we need to clean. But then the community sees that work and our hearts and our effort, and we just get to celebrate the opportunity to do that well. And so that you can find that through clever use of hashtags, of, you know, posting cleanup days, specifically inviting people to come apart to be a part of that. Sign Up Genius is a huge online tool that we have used for people to be able to identify, I want this role with this, and oh, we still need a shovel for this, you know. So there's lots of tools at your disposal to do that well.
Yeah, I think when you're doing things like that, you can actually better partner with community organizations. So for instance, you're going to do, I was part of a church group one year that we went and we cleaned up all the flower beds at one of the local elementary schools. And we had our team of volunteers, but we could have used other volunteers. And the school administration was willing to promote our cleanup day because it was benefiting their school. And so our church was getting sort of a public nod from the school administration because we were showing up on the campus to actually do some work for them. We did another thing where we built some raised flower beds or raised garden beds so they could teach the kids how to grow vegetables in the back of the school. Like things that you're doing that are good community service, community oriented things, you might be able to, you know, put up posters or things in the public library, or the city might have a website, or the Chamber of Commerce. If you're not a member of your local Chamber of Commerce, it's a great thing to do. Most nonprofits get like super, super cheap, like $50 a year or something like that, membership into the Chamber of Commerce. And then they'll post your events on the Chamber of Commerce website. Like that's another free place that you can post things and just leverage those free resources that are out in the community. Jason, what would you like to add?
Yeah, you know, it seems like these days there's a lost art of press releases that we don't do. And if there's anything I took some pride in when I was a comm director, it was developing relationships with the local media, because I knew they were a huge gateway for me to reach a lot of people. And so I'm going to encourage you guys who's listening to this. If you, first of all, you want to create a list of sending, you want to create a list of all the media outlets, radio stations, television stations, newspapers, even maybe magazines, some quarterly, like, you know, a local neighborhood, things that get sent out. Our town, I'm in Gilbert, so they have a Gilbert magazine. Okay. You want to build a list, a laundry list of who the contact is and how do they receive press releases. So build that first. Second is then send press releases. So there's so many great benefits to this. Not only will maybe a station pick up the actual thing that you've got going on, they'll actually probably put it on their website and link to your website. That's called a backlink, highly valuable in the SEO world. But the fact that, you know, sometimes you just get picked up. I mean, it's free advertising. I'll give you an example. I'm working with a church in Southern California, and they were doing a meal packing event. They wanted, I think the goal was, I want to say 1 million meals, but I think I have that wrong. It was a large quantity of meals to feed people in Southern California and all over. Okay. And so they had an organization come in, and they had tons of volunteers, just thousands of volunteers putting together these meal packs. So I'm helping them out, and I sent out press releases. Well, certainly, yeah, that Sunday morning, I get a call from the local ABC affiliate. And they're like, hey, we want to come out and check that out. I'm like, fantastic. You know, so they were getting ready to come out. Something, a news story broke. And so they said, no, actually, we can't make it. Something just happened. It's LA. So things happen all the time. But she said, send me photos and a write-up. So I did. I mean, we're talking that morning. And on the news, they were talking about this event. They showed pictures. They talked about it. They gave the website. It's just like, yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. That was free. It took some time. That's all it did. It took some time. In the past, when I was on staff at my church, I had friends that were in the media, and I would make it a point of actually buying them lunch every now and then. And I'll never forget the guy that is locally with me. You know, he was the spiritual editor. So I just said, hey, anytime you have a question, I will make sure my pastor's always available, you know, good, bad, or ugly, he'll be available to meet with you. Right. And so I promise you that. And then I'm going to give you releases. Would you run those? He said, sure. So it was a relationship with that we had. And so sure, he'd call us every time, you know, there's something up, and I'd say, all right, you know, let's get it on record. And then I would send him press releases, and they would carry them. Developing that relationship with the local media, so impactful. And it seems like that's gone from our tool belts is the local media. They still have a lot of authority, especially rank authority on websites, but for them to pick up a news story, like you just mentioned something very simple. We're going to go serve the school. Like, I know there's a balance of, we don't want to pat ourselves on the back. However, come on, like people need to know that the church is here to serve the community. We're here to serve. We're servant leaders. And if we don't ever talk about it, how are they ever going to really know? And so I want to throw that out there. I'd recommend you start with building a list of the local media, then reaching out to them to try to develop a relationship with some of those reporters and take it from there.
I was on a call recently with a pretty good-sized multi-campus church in the Pacific Northwest, and campuses in all around the Seattle area. And we were talking about sending some press releases, and it seemed a little awkward because one of the press releases was related to one of their campuses was relocating, and it was a smaller campus in what is really deemed a smaller community. That then when we got on a couple of these major news websites from their areas, we realized that they actually had little subsections in their website for some of these smaller communities and smaller neighborhoods. Yep. And they didn't even realize that they could do that. You know, it's like, you know, Oak Hills neighborhood, right? Had its own section within the larger media outlets website. Yep. So I think that you're onto something there, Jason. I think there is a lost art of writing press releases. And if you don't know how to do it, get on ChatGPT or Claude. Yeah. And ChatGPT or Claude can help you write your press releases.
Yep. For a media release. Yeah. Yeah. I would even go so far as to sometimes when I felt like we wanted to get some more backlinks, you can actually buy a press release. We wanted more national coverage. And I did. I would spend a couple $100 and that press release got picked up by all kinds of newspapers around the country. It provided a lot of great backlinks.
Yeah. Very, very good. Let's move on to kind of our last, kind of our last focus here. And let's focus primarily on event type stuff. Josh, you kind of kicked us off talking about the Google Business Profile and posting events. But at the time that this podcast episode is coming out, a lot of churches are in the planning stages for Easter, Easter outreach, Easter services, maybe Good Friday services, or some sort of Holy Week experiences. Let's talk about some creative, budget-friendly ways to promote our events specifically. We've talked about Eventbrite, All Events, Google Business Profile. What are some other things that a church might do to connect their events with people in their community? Joshua, why don't you kick us off here?
Yeah, well, definitely don't forget the power of free. When you're giving away a free resource that's connected to your event, like for instance, an Easter activity kit or an Easter one-page PDF or how to talk to kids about Lent, or I mean, I'm a father of three. I would love help explaining to a five-year-old how to think through these types of weighty issues. And so when you give families those things in exchange for an email address, oh, I'm not at all thinking about giving you my email address. I'm thinking about what I'm getting in return. But now that we have all those email addresses, oh my gosh, we can leverage that and nurture them toward that event with invite emails and testimonials and look at what God did in this person's family just as a result of, I mean, look how their parenting changed, their giving changed. It's massive what you can do when you leverage your Easter page as a lead generator.
Yeah, I'll jump on that as well. One of the most fun things we did in my days as a comm director was, this is a little crazy. I don't even remember the number. I think it was several thousand packages of those little marshmallow peeps. I had like five in a package. Mm-hmm. And we made a card that says, who's your peeps that you're inviting to church at Easter time? And so we had this card and it had all the details like you're invited, and we attached that to the peeps package. And the idea was you would give that package, you would invite your neighbor or whoever, coworker, to church. And they got the marshmallow peeps and they got a little invite card. So you're our peep. We'd love to invite you to church. And I tell you what, that was a lot of fun because it was more than just a handout card. Nothing wrong with handout cards. Those are great. I mean, but it was just a little something extra. And I don't know how many actually got in the hands of people because the kids probably ate the peeps. But, that's a different conversation. The idea, is you're trying to engage your community to think we're always wanting to invite people that we interact with. That's how the church grows. And that we know this, right? The one-on-one interaction, if you invite somebody, it's like 80% chance they'll actually attend because you extended that invitation. And not always, right? But if you don't, you're going to get 0%. And so giving your congregation those tools, if you don't want to do peeps, I really like this one too. We would create a card and we would perf it right down the middle. So the card was mirrored. And the idea, our pastor would hold up and he would rip it and say, this card is for your refrigerator. So, you know when you're going to come to Easter, this one needs to get handed out to somebody that you've been praying for that you love. Not 10 people, just one. Who's the one? Right? If all of us can invite just the one, that would have massive momentum. I get a little bit like discouraged when I hear pastors go, who's the 10 people you're inviting? 10? Like, we're lucky if anybody invites one, right? So how about we just start to have everybody invite one? And then those people that are your church that are just nuts, that they love to invite people, they'll grab a bunch more of those. But I thought that was really cool, just perf down the middle. Cut it or pull it apart. And
my feedback to that is if you're a part of my church, you don't even need a card. Like you don't need the card. You attend on Sundays already. I'm expecting you to show up on Sunday. You ought to know when Easter is. You don't need a card. I used to, printed materials. Like this is the great thing about print. And, while we are a digital marketing company and our focus is digital, print is really cheap. You can print. Now, mailing is not. Mail is where you can get bit in expensive, distribution. But, if you got a church of 100 people or a church of 1,000 people, you can literally print a couple of thousand postcards for $50, $100. I mean, it's really inexpensive. I used to stand in front of my church family and say, the card that you got when you came in today promoting whatever it was, we'll say Easter, was not for you. It's for somebody that you know that I don't know. And so I want you to take that card and I want you to use that card to invite a friend, a neighbor, a cousin, a colleague, a coworker, whatever. That is not for you. You You're already planning to be here. I know that. That's for somebody that you know that we don't know. I had a church this last year I thought was super creative idea. It's going to require some money, but I think it's a really great idea. They printed little postcards that were invitations. They sized them to the size where they fit perfectly on top of a 6-egg carton. And you can buy the little cardboard egg cartons in bulk on Amazon. I think you can get like 50 of these egg cartons for like $30. And they filled the little egg cartons with candy, and then they taped their Easter invitation card to the top. And so families could take those little, I think it said something like "you've been egged" or something like that on the invitation card. And they were handing out the little egg cartons with candy invitations to their Easter services, you know, to their friends and their neighbors and, you know, and that sort of thing. I thought it was a super creative idea. I haven't done it yet, but I told them I was going to rip it off and use it myself because I thought it was pretty creative and very cost effective. You know, some egg cartons, couple hundred egg cartons, couple hundred postcards, couple hundred pieces of candy. You're talking about, you know, a couple hundred bucks at most, and you can really make a significant impact with the people in your church, giving them something of value and something that will excite them to invite their friends.
Love that.
Any other parting thoughts or anything on that, guys? We've been chatting about a half hour on this topic. We could probably go for hours because
I just encourage you to keep trying stuff. You know, don't give up. Don't just get discouraged, but make it this is the year 2026. This is the year that you're really going to pour and go deep in this and be disciplined and try to utilize not only paid advertising, because you should do some of that, but all these free tools as well. Try stuff, get volunteers, get engaged, and move that needle. Just want to encourage you guys.
Josh, anything from you? Parting shot?
If you don't know what to do online, again, just celebrate what God has already done. The spirit of celebration is contagious, and people get excited when they see you talking about and your face lighting up with what God's already done in your church and in your community. So,
yeah, that's a great parting word there. You know, Jason, you did mention there that, you know, in some cases it makes sense for churches to actually spend money on digital marketing. We've been big fans for the last year or so on Google Performance Max ads. It's one of the most cost-effective ad types that for about $150 a month, a church can actually get a pretty good return on investment. And we're in this season, we actually are offering a special for churches where they can try the Google Performance Max ads for 3 months for the cost of only 2 months. But in order to make it effective for Easter, they got to kind of jump on that right now. So if that's something that you as a listener or you're watching this on our YouTube channel, you'd like to get more information about, you can just reach out to us through our website, missionalmarketing.com. You can schedule a meeting with anybody on our team. There's a scheduling tool on there, and anybody on our team can talk to you about that. We love to help you leverage the Easter season to reach more people for Jesus in a very, very cost-effective way. We're here to serve you, and we hope that this podcast episode has been helpful for you. If it has been, make sure that you leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and share it with a friend or a ministry colleague, someone in your church who you think might find it valuable. And that is a wrap on the 179th episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Josh. We'll see you guys around.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.